TV.
The final solution was the term the Nazis used to describe their way of dealing with Jews, what they considered to be an inferior race that was weakening the gene pool of the Aryan race. They considered disabled people, Jews, all minorities, really, gypsies, to be inferiors to themselves, and they wanted a super race, a super people to be able to rule the world. They needed to be strong. They needed to be an enduring, lasting race in order to accommodate the thousand-year Reich. And in order to get that, they exterminated these undesirables. It was called the final solution. What is God's final solution to the problem of sin and death? The problem that everyone is weak, everyone is beset by sin and death. His final solution is God all in all. 1 Corinthians 15:28. Praise God. God all in all. The reconciliation of everything to God. Everything finally in perfect harmony, balance, and peace based on the blood of Jesus Christ. Isn't that beautiful? That's the final solution of the true God and the true Christ, who consider all humans to be inferiors, disabled, gypsies, undesirables, lesser than. And so Christ came to deliver them from that realm. And thus their thanks and their praise would always go to him, not to themselves. There would be no super race of superior human beings. Nope, because everybody's in the same boat. What is the final solution of the Christian religion? Oh, ladies and gentlemen, it's far worse, infinitely worse than the final solution proposed by the Nazis. Much worse. The goal is the same, to get rid of undesirables. As I said yesterday, the undesirables in the Nazi world were the Jews. The undesirables in the Christian world are those who aren't faithful, those who refuse to seek out God. In spite of the scripture verse that says no one is seeking out God, their final solution is to torture them forever. That's what their God does. At best, he annihilates most of his creatures, just wipes them out, never to see the light of day again. No, but the majority of Christianity believes in eternal torment. Adolf Hitler was the mastermind of the final solution of the eradication of the Jews by death. The Christian God is the mastermind of the final solution of the Christian religion, the Christian God and the Christian Christ. And again, infinitely worse than that of their Nazi counterparts. They perfected it. Instead of killing them, they torture them. Well, yeah, the Nazis tortured people too, and the people eventually died. Not the undesirables in the Christian religion. No, the undesirables who just can't work up the faith to believe. God works a miracle in order to keep them alive to torture them for eternity. It's unspeakably horrible. And it's literally infinitely worse because it goes on for eternity. On and on and on with no stop. After 100,000 years of it, those who are suffering the agony of eternal fire are no closer to the finish of it than when they began. And those who carried out the German final solution, they considered themselves just cogs in the machine. We're going to look at a specific case, Adolf Eichmann. I wrote an article, a ZWTF newsletter, about Adolf Eichmann. I read a very interesting book about the capture of Eichmann in the 60s, you know, 20 years after his dirty deeds. He was the man in charge of the logistics of transporting the Jews to the camps. He claimed he was just doing his job. He said he never killed anybody. He just found a home. He found a purpose in the organization. And the organization rewarded his zeal. He didn't kill anybody. He just facilitated the killing of the victims of that purge. It's the same in the Christian religion. It's not their fault God's an eternal tormentor, according to them, because God set the trap. Watch the last two videos I made on this theme. Not their fault. They're just cogs in the machine. They're just helping it along. They're promoting it. And if they don't talk about it, then they're tacitly approving of it. They're tacitly implicated in it by not speaking out, by not denouncing it. Those who don't say anything, those in the Christian religion who don't say anything, they're guilty by association. They know it's there. They know there's that deep, dark secret, the crazy uncle in the attic, but they don't do anything about it. They don't say anything about it. They don't want to ruffle any feathers. I've heard tell of some pastors in the Christian religion who don't believe in eternal torment, yet the Christian church pays their bills, and by their bills being paid, they keep their families together, their marriages together, and they just go along with it. Well, God help those people at the great white throne. God help those people. It's almost worse for them because they know there's a problem and they don't do anything about it. The others are just blind sheep, just going along with it. Yeah, eternal torment sounds good, yeah. Useful idiots to the Christian religion. Useful idiots to try to scare people. That's their tactic. I guess you present God as a scary being who loves you, as long as you love him. But if you don't, oh, he's got a mean streak. He's got a mean streak as wide as eternity. Nazis and Christians are just doing their duty. Just doing their job. They didn't kill anybody. They just prosecute the plan. They progress the plan. They announce the plan. They announce it. There's a special, well, let's say this. The lake of fire was invented for pastors and preachers who announce eternal torment with glee from the pulpit, the Jonathan Edward types. I said that it was worse for those who knew it was true, knew it was false, but didn't say anything, but I don't know. I'm going to run a competition between those people and those who announce it with glee from pulpits in their puffed up, self-righteous arrogance, their love of the system. This was Eichmann's problem. You're going to see that. You're going to see that. So I wrote a ZWTF newsletter. I wrote this in June of 2019 after reading the book on Adolf Eichmann. The article is called The Education and Training of Modern Day Eichmanns, because I contend to you that almost all Christians are modern day Eichmanns. They're just doing their job. They're just going along with it. They don't want to cause any ripples to the system. They like their place in it. They're comfortable in it. They know that the crazy uncle's in the attic. They know that eternal torment is there in the statement of faith, but they just go along with it. Hey, we're not killing anybody. God's the mastermind of the plan. We're just getting the people in. That's what Eichmann said. I'm just getting the people into the camp. That's what Christians are doing. Tell your friend to come to church. Tell 10 people to come to church this Sunday, where we will guilt them into hopefully going to the altar, confessing their sins, and exercising their free will. Hopefully. Because if they don't, they might get in a car accident on the way home and die and go to hell for eternity. Because salvation is not based on the work of Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago. No, that didn't do anything. That didn't do anything. If it did something, why are these people born condemned to hell? Unless they do something about it. And they better hurry up, because they might get in a car wreck on the way home and shit their pants and then go to hell. And people bring them in to hear it. They're modern day Eichmanns. Let me show you this. I don't even know if I'm going to start reading this article today. But what I'm going to do tomorrow, and looks like Monday now, is I'm going to read my article. It's a lengthy article, but as I read it, I'm going to comment, but I'm going to show footage, archival footage from the liberation of Nazi concentration camps. It's nightmarish footage. And I'm going to put out a notice that there's some disturbing things to be seen in this public domain videos of concentration camps. But again, I contend to you that as you watch it, you need to know that what happens to unbelievers, what happens to unbelievers in the Christian final solution is, I'll say the word again, infinitely worse than what happened to the Jews in the German final solution. At least those people died. Some of them got out. Some of them survived. Nobody survives the Christian God purge. Nobody. If you don't say the right words at the right time, with the right feeling, with the right intention, with the right motive, then you're going to wish you were at Dachau. You're going to wish you were at Bergen-Belsen. Because the Christian God has way worse punishment for you than the Nazis ever had for their undesirables. I read this article again, and I was so excited about it because it was so good. It's really good. And I'm writing a book. I'm going to put it in a book, a short booklet. I'm going to show you the front. I designed the front cover yesterday. I'm going to show that to you now. There's the front cover. The book is called Christianity's Final Solution. There's a picture of the entrance to the camp. I think that's Dachau, maybe. And the subtitle is An Analogy Between the Holocaust and the Christian Teaching of Eternal Conscious Torment. And here's the back of the book. That's not Eichmann. That's Joseph Goebbels. But it's the, I like this photo. I mean, I hate to like it. I like to hate it because of it's the announcing of the great Christian gospel of Turner Burn. Love God or be tortured by God. Become serfs to the Aryans or die a painful death. I read part of this yesterday. The text on the back of this book says, unbelievers are to Christians what the Jews were to Hitler's Reich. Evil expendables, undesirables, fit only for punishment. The Jews must be punished for their lack of Aryan blood, the unbelievers for their lack of faith. In both cases, it's a final solution. Anyone working toward either solution in whatever capacity is complicit and must blindly accept it as God's way. But what if this isn't God's way? What if God and Christ are better than how the Christian religion has for centuries portrayed them? What if God and Christ are better than Hitler, Goebbels, and Eichmann? What if the doctrine of eternal conscious torment is provably wrong using evidence from the Bible itself? And this is it. It's going to be a short book, but I remind you that Thomas Paine's Common Sense was a very short book. In fact, it was a pamphlet, but it was responsible for gaining sympathy from the colonies for the Revolutionary War, for secession from England. It galvanized people. It was a very simple, plain pamphlet. It was printed up by like crazy. It was given away. It was read in the streets. Thomas Paine wrote in a way that the common person could understand. And I've always admired that. I've always been amazed at how literature, finely tuned and skillfully aimed, can change the world. Look at Harriet Beecher Stowe's Uncle Tom's Cabin. It galvanized the North against slavery because for the first time, slavery got flesh and blood put to it. It was an abstract concept to most Northerners. Harriet Beecher Stowe, although her account has been called melodramatic, still she put flesh and bone to what was, again, to some, an abstract concept. And so many people understood the evils of slavery because of that book. In fact, when Abraham Lincoln met Harriet Beecher Stowe for the first time, he said, "So you're the little woman who started this big war." Well, you could say the same about Thomas Paine. "So you're the guy who wrote the little 47-page pamphlet that started this big war." I want people to say that about this book, Christianity's Final Solution. "Oh, so this is the little book. You're the guy who started this vast revolt against the Christian religion and its sick, satanic, Nazi-like teachings." Oh, if only. I would compare Nazis to Christians, but I don't wish to do a disservice to the Nazis. It's that bad. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to start right now. I got time. I want to start. So the footage I'm about to show you, I might just go for 5 minutes just to give you a taste of how this is going to be. The first part of this about Adolf Eichmann is talking about his life, his motivation, how he got to where he was. The second part of this takes it into the life of a Christian, of a young Christian man. But I want you to realize that the analogy, I want you to be aware of the analogy all the way through, that there are two final solutions in view here. The German final solution for the problem of the Jews and the Christian final solution to the problem of the unbelievers. The Germans kill him. The Christians torture him. Hitler puts him in the ovens. God puts him in eternal flame. Part one. I was of late reading a book about the capture of Adolf Eichmann, the SS administrator of Hitler's final solution. Eichmann helped carry out the eradication of the Jews from the earth. The plan ultimately failed, but Eichmann had wanted it to succeed. Another way to describe Eichmann's role is that he was chief logistician of the Holocaust. He drew up the blueprints, an ideologue he believed in his work. His work included planning the routes of the deportation trains, loading the prisoners into the train cars, and scheduling the arrivals at the killing centers, Auschwitz, Belzec, Treblinka. It was harder than it looked. Suffused with purpose, Eichmann would round up Jews from far-flung European cities. The feat required motivation. The scope of the racial cleansing program was epic. No detail was too small for Adolf Eichmann. His every waking moment leaned him toward the task. So many administrative details demanded attention. The paperwork alone would have intimidated a lesser man. Adolf Eichmann assumed the mantle of a mandate. Well, that's the way with the Christian religion, too. It's a mandate to bring people into the cult. Whatever authority was not given him, he placed upon himself. This also reminds me of the Apostle Paul, the zeal he had. His every waking moment leaned him toward the task. Administrative details demanded attention. A lesser man would have been intimidated by the paperwork, but not Saul before he was the Apostle Paul. Saul, before he was the Apostle Paul, is the model Christian. The Christian is modern day Saul, not Paul, but Saul. The one who was worshiping a false god and actually persecuting true believers. The modern day Eichmanns, promoting the final solution of the Christian religion, they are also persecuting the true believers. You. They're persecuting you. Just as the Germans persecuted good, innocent people, the Jews persecuted Christ, and Saul persecuted believers in Christ. Whatever authority was not given him, he placed upon himself. He would make his efficiency and zeal renowned throughout the 1,000 years of the German Reich. Many trains required scheduling. Eichmann woke each day to the cause. For the most part, the Jews did not realize that the Germans were transporting them to the death camps. They thought that they were going to detention facilities. Perhaps they were being transported to a new ghetto, a foreign ghetto, a displaced ghetto for displaced persons. In order to do his work, Eichmann eventually dehumanized the Jews. He said that he had to drink many shots of whiskey every night at first to drive away the horrific sights of the day. Later, he reveled in the same sights, emotionless. The cult of Nazism destroyed his conscience. Why be troubled by the sufferings of beings who were not even human, and additionally enemies of the state? He was merely enacting the will of his superiors. Yeah, why be nice to people who God's going to burn in hell? Why should you be any more merciful? Why should you be kinder than your God? If your God will not tolerate laziness in returning his affections, why should you tolerate it? God's going to punish his enemies with eternal fire. Why don't you give him a head start by punishing them here on earth, by hating them, shunning them, abusing them? The whiskey got Eichmann over the hump. The incongruence of Adolf Eichmann and the shock to anyone beholding the man while at the same time attempting to reconcile his appearance and demeanor with his role in the Holocaust was appreciating what author Hannah Arendt, who wrote the book Eichmann in Jerusalem, called the banality of evil. To consider the German Austrian Nazi SS Obersturmbannfuhrer was to realize that mass murder had been reduced to paperwork and personal aspiration. To Eichmann, his was a career in which he could advance. Above all else, he was following the orders of his superiors. More on Eichmann's psychology later. Physically, Eichmann was slight. No one assessing the man, removed from his professional context, could have guessed at the darkness beneath. Eichmann blinked only slightly at the various processes of his profession. These processes were all in a day's work. He would return home each day to his wife Veronica and his sons Klaus, Horst, and Dieter. He complained over the years that Hitler never honored him with a personal audience, yet Hitler and the Reich would founder without him. That he knew. I'm going to stop for today. The next section is called Captured and Tried. Then I have a section called Second Judgment. And then in part two, we're going to hear about a young man who becomes a modern-day Eichmann. As unlikely as that seems. Oh, it seems so innocent to us that people would just be silent in the face of this terrible evil, an evil that has defamed God, that has caused mass suicides over the centuries, mass depression, mass psychoses, mass addictions, mass crime, all related to this concept of an angry God, of a vindictive God, who is just waiting for you to make one mistake, at which time he'll pull the rug out from under you and send you to an eternity of torment. You, your father, your mother, your kids, he's an equal opportunity tormentor. How many people have been turned away from God thinking that the Christian God was the true God? That's what really bothers me. That's what fuels my zeal and my passion, is that people think that that's the true God. As Paul said concerning the Jews, because of you, the name of God is blasphemed among the nation. Because of you, the name of God is blasphemed among the nations. I say to Christianity, because of you, the name of God is blasphemed all over the world, wherever your horrible, quote, gospel, unquote, is announced. You go far and wide to make proselytes, and you make them double the sons of Gehenna that you are. Where people are living in peace, where people are admiring nature, raising their families. You bring them this life or death choice. You bring them a, quote, gospel that now supposedly makes them accountable for responding or not responding to what they're hearing. Basically, you're bringing them lies. You're bringing innocent people lies about God. They can see more of God. They can see a truer picture of God, looking at the trees and the birds. Then you bring them with your false translations and your hideous evil of eternal torment. They're better off if your plane had crashed on the way to the jungle in your evangelistic crusades. On that, I always remember in the Catholic Church, today we're going to hear from a missionary. And the missionary tells about how he brings the gospel far and wide. The gospel of what? Gospel of turn and burn? The gospel of God is codependent mass murderer? No. No. May God use my efforts and the efforts of anyone out there who feels compelled to fight this uphill battle. I thank all of you for wanting to help, for helping me to do it. I want to publish this book soon, and I pray that God will use it in a mighty way to turn many from darkness to light.